Good morning. It's good to see everybody. I appreciate the song service this morning, all those who serve today. As we get ready for school, our 40 days of prayer comes to a close. I guess I should say it should never come to a close. May not be as organized as it has been, but of course, we continue to ask for your prayers. And different things going on. I've had a few conversations with people. It seems like there's a lot that's been going on, things that may be deemed an attack or negative. And I think that that has a lot to do with some of the good things that are on the horizon. And do we need to keep praying through that? We've certainly got things going on. Everybody has things going on and circumstances in their life that could be better. And I'm so thankful more and more every day for the avenue of prayer. And I would love to see everybody out at 2 o'clock today. If you can't be here, if you haven't heard about it, we're going to be having a brief prayer meeting today in the gym at 2 o'clock. Look to be wrapped up around 2:30. But if you can't come, that's the beauty of prayer, is that 2 o'clock, if you pause and pray with us, that'd be great wherever you find yourself. But that is something else going on. So another thing I've been working on is a little PDF for a 9.5-month prayer guide to make the 2023-2024 school year an eternal blessing. So if you know someone who's not an RCA student that may be going to some of our on-campus schools here in the area, I would love to get a copy of that in your hand. Been working on that. And of course, if you can always take what I have and mold it to whatever situation you're in. So you're welcome to that after I get all the bugs cleaned up. But we'll be in Psalm chapter 22 this morning. And as we kind of use that passage, that psalm, as a framework for our time in God's Word this morning. And I appreciate so much, like I said, the song service and especially the leading of to Him who sits on the throne, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to talk about a psalm that has intrigued and been talked about a lot as far as the Gospels, and we'll certainly make reference to that. And I'm not here to dispute the aspect of God's relationship to His Son on the cross and whether or not He truly forsake Him or turn His back from Him, or if that's just an idea, an aspect, or what He was feeling. I'm not going to be touching on that a whole lot. But what I am going to talk about is that Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 22, and I think that's the point of why the gospel writers, at least we can say, I think the gospel writers had that purpose in mind in including some of the things that happened leading up to the crucifixion and death of Jesus, who now sits on the throne, is at the right hand of God. And so we'll unpack that a little bit. And so I just want to remind you quickly about the Psalms, the meaning, the purpose of the Psalms. They're certainly educational, they're transformational, and they're also prophetic. And these are much similar to the songs that we may have learned as little children. We know that in the Jewish culture, leading up into the days of Jesus, that the women were not as educated as the men. But the Psalms were things that everyone would have learned. They would have known these songs, much like we understand the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And so they would have had some connection to this. At the most basic of educations, the Psalms would have been taught in that way. And so I think that we kind of see a fulfillment yet again of a passage that we talked about last week in John chapter 16 and verse 7, when Jesus says, I must go. It's to your advantage that I go, so that the advocate, the helper, can come and indwell you and live among you. And so I think that Psalm 22 and Jesus quoting of that is the cherry on the top of I am the Messiah. I am the King of the Jews. And the reason that I believe that is if you look in the New Testament, we'll make reference to those passages, that Jesus is called this several times in a mocking way, but nonetheless, the writer wants you to get to the point that they were right, their motives were wrong. They were correct in calling Jesus the King of the Jews. And so we'll begin in Psalm chapter 22 and verse 3. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, in you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 11, he's called the King of the Jews. In verse 29, the King of the Jews. And verse 37, the King of the Jews. And if that wasn't enough, Mark makes 5 references in Mark 15 of Jesus being the King of the Jews. Verse 2, 9, 18, 26, and 39. I believe that Psalm unpacks what Jesus will later, and the writers themselves will later, come and use to give people who would read it like we are in 2023, the checks, the boxes that are checked, that this is the Messiah, the King of the Jews. He is mocked. Psalm 22, 7 through 8. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. Verse 7 and 8. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Almost a direct quote of what people said. The Roman soldiers in Matthew 27, 27 through 30. Mark 15, 16 through 20. The Jews themselves in Matthew 27, 39 through 44. Mark 15, 29 through 32. It says that Jesus was surrounded. He was taken into custody and taken to these illegal trials. In Psalm 22, verses 12 through 13, many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. And so Matthew 27, 12, 20 through 23, Mark 15, 3 through 5, 8 through 14, 29 through 32 show this surrounding. A few years ago, we did a skit, and we were the angels of the Lord watching the crucifixion of Jesus. And throughout those times, we would talk about, oh, well, let me go down there, right? It's time to move. And no, you got to stay. You got to allow this to happen. And I think of 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17, when all of these armies surround the prophet of the Lord, and his servant is worried. And he prays, Lord, open the eyes of this son so he can see. And his eyes were opened, and they were surrounded by the army and the chariots of the Lord. And so I can't imagine the unseen people that surrounded them. Those that Jesus would have known were there and chose not to call to his defense. And we are all thankful, or should be, that he didn't. We know that Jesus was pierced. Verse 16, for dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. We know in Matthew chapter 27 and 25, Mark 15, 24, that he was pierced. He was crucified for us. Psalm 22 and verse 18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Matthew 27, 35, Mark 15, 24. Oh, that they would have known that there was no reason to bet. There was no reason to cast dice, that there was a God who wanted to give them everything and really had. And unfortunately, they had missed it, but it wasn't their last opportunity. Have you ever felt like you missed something and you thought maybe, just maybe, it was your last chance? And then out of nowhere, an opportunity came. A time when you thought all is lost. And in that moment, God showed up the most. Received an encouraging letter, found an encouraging letter from 2002 from a brother who has now passed away, an older gentleman, a preacher who had preached more years than I've been alive. And he heard this college-age kid probably present a lesson that was disconjointed. It didn't make a lot of sense. And yet he took time to write me a letter. And he talked about the flashes of lightning aren't the things to be fearful, but they reveal the face of God. And it's in our storms, and it's in those times where we feel like all hope is lost, that we have a God who, though forsaken, gives us access. I think it's interesting to see how Psalm 22 begins, picking up in verse 1 and reading through verse 5. I think it allows us to understand that we can feel forsaken, but really in the end it reveals the access to the Father that we have. my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you, our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. You see, to the Jews, a dead Messiah was no Messiah at all. And they had missed what Psalm 22 really was saying. That it would be when your hope in yourself and the ways of doing things the way you think they should be done, you will be lost. But when we trust in God to accomplish His will, then those two things are tied together. It's when we give up hope in our ability to do things that we truly find the eternal hope. And Jesus was the embodiment of that. Jesus quotes verse 1 in Matthew 27 and verse 46 and Mark 15 and verse 34. But He gives us access in Matthew 27, 50 through 54, when the middle wall between us is torn from top to bottom, symbolizing the access that God has given us through the death of His Son. Mark 15, 38 through 39 does the same. And we can be reminded that Jesus is not in the tomb. Just like Peter said, David is over there. You can dig his body up to this day. But the tomb of Jesus Christ is empty, and He sits on the throne. In Psalm chapter 22, verses 22 to 31, He gives us an understanding, an idea, a peek into what we now all rejoice in. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify Him, and stand in awe of Him, all you offspring of Israel. For He has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and He has not hidden His face from him, but has heard when he cried to Him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear Him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. Surely this was the Son of God. We see these things come to a culmination in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That even this old heathen Roman who had done the punishing, who stood guard, could see this was the King of the Jews, and even more importantly, the Son of God. And all the families of the nation shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations. All the prosperous of earth eat and worship before Him, shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve Him, shall be told the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim His righteousness to a people yet unborn, that He has done it. So look around, and you can see the fulfillment of Psalm 22. And that Jesus gave Himself, allowed Himself to be forsaken, so that we, yet unborn, will have access to Him who sits on the throne. Now He tells us through the Hebrew writer that we boldly come before the throne of God with confidence. What have you done with this access? In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 25, Pilate tries to wiggle Jesus free, and yet they are riled up, crucify Him. And in Matthew 27 verse 25, He says, "Let His blood be on us and our children." Yet again, they were right, but their motivation was wrong. The beauty of that is there's been many times in my life where I was right by Scripture, but my motivation was poor. And the beauty is that we can be forgiven and that we're on a journey together so that we can understand He was pierced for our transgressions. Maybe this morning you've been mocked. Most of us at some point in our life, we probably have been, and for me, it was probably deserved. Maybe you felt surrounded by the darkness. We have members here who are suffering, who are filled with pain. There are circumstances and people hurting in their lives that they would, if they could, they would snap their fingers and remove it. Maybe you feel stabbed in the back. We've all been disloyal to one another. We've all felt that, whether it was true or not. Maybe you just feel left for dead. But understand, as we're told in 1 John 4 and verse 4, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. In Romans chapter 5, I want to wrap up our time together in Romans 5. In Romans chapter 5, Paul explains it as well as he does anywhere else. And he gives us the situation that we're in. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered to give us access. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. I want you to think about Jesus in his suffering. Jesus has suffered in a way that many of us, hopefully, many of us will never taste. So that not only he can give us hope for eternal life, that he can give us hope in the midst of suffering that we all face. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This morning, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you've not given your life, then your suffering is for nothing. It has no meaning. It has no process. It has no purpose. And if you continue in that, you will die in your sins and be lost for eternity. God has done everything. He's fulfilled Psalm 22 so that we might see we don't have to do that. If you go to hell, it will be God honoring your choice. Not looking for a way to be unkind to you. He's done everything to show his kindness, to pour out on you that even the suffering that you face this morning and this week will have a purpose and a meaning to make us more in the image of his son, Jesus. If you've not started that journey, can I ask you a question? Why? What excuse do you have? He's removed them all. Sure, it may sound good right now, but one day before the throne, it will not, trust me. If you've given your life to Jesus and you just feel like you've been lost, that you might could even quote Psalm 22 and verse 1, why have you forsaken me? Let me encourage you that he's not. That even if that's what happened on the cross, that happened on the cross so that you will never be forsaken, as he tells us. That Jesus has taken everything the world can throw at a human being, was perfect, died, not withholding us and being a more obstacle to keep us away from God, so that we would have access 24/7. And so the offering is the same, really, to all of us. If there's sin in a Christian's life that we now acknowledge or we see that's been revealed through the study of his scripture, we repent, we confess that, and we have an opportunity to do that now in a corporate setting. But you don't need that to repent and confess to the Lord. If it's something of a public nature, that's something a little bit different. Something needs to be made right with your fellow man. We would love to assist in that. And of course, today, if you're not a follower of Jesus and you can't come up with a good reason as to why, we would love to fix that problem too through the power of the Holy Spirit and removing your sin through baptism. If there's a way that we can assist you to be the hands and feet that were pierced for our sins, we would love to do that now as we stand and sing.